Now remember, you gotta act like you haven't seen us in a while and we brought you back to the podcast.
Okay, I'm right. Good with that.
Welcome to Red Pill, Blue Pill, an open discussion podcast about all things film. We're your hosts, Kat
and Fid. Welcome back, guys, to episode 4 of RPVP. Today, we're going to be talking about Parasite by Bong Joon-ho. One of the greatest films, in my opinion, to this day. But not only that, so don't just get excited for that. Get excited because we brought back Simeon. Woo-hoo. You know, he has a lot to say about this movie, so I can't wait to see what he brings to the table today. Hey, Sim.
Hey, what up? All right, it's gonna be cool.
Glad to have you back. Today is basically just, we're not spoiler free. So you can comment about, you know, the ending, anything you want to talk about. Just, I feel like we should disclaim that. Other than that, let's begin.
Parasite, an absolute masterpiece. Easily, it's one of those films that's going to be on everyone's list for forever.
Yeah, I say it's probably one of the most entertaining films to watch. That's all I'll say. I won't say best films list, but I'll say one of the most entertaining films of all time, for sure.
For sure. Did you guys expect it to kind of deviate in genre the way that it did? You know how it started off as a drama and then it just suddenly in a matter of 10 minutes turned into a thriller?
Not at all. I went to go see it with Sarah and Miguel, and that twist, None of us saw it coming. I don't think anybody can start watching that film and think it's going to end up where it ends up.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just such a beautiful film of blending all the genres together. I mean, it's just, the script itself is just so tight. It's just top to bottom. You can't really find anything messed up with it at all. So I feel like it's because of that right there, it makes the film so stellar.
Oh, for sure. And this is what? This is Bong Joon-ho's 7th film, I think? But to me, like, I've been following Bong for a while, and I've seen, you know, Memories of Murder.
Yeah, great film.
I started off actually with his first one, which was the Barking Dogs Never Bite one, which was a dark comedy. Really not, absolutely not the same quality as Parasite, but you could still, if you go back and you see that film, or basically any film before Parasite, you can feel, you know, Bong Joon-ho's potential in every single one. Like, it's almost like he's been building up to Parasite. Parasite is just a combination of all the different things that I think he was trying out. And to me, like, for example, for him, like, what I think is the greatest thing about Parasite, apart from, like, the shift changes, like, his ability to not only tell a story that matters, you know, because he brings up the whole high class, lower class issue that is very, very, you know, important to South Korean culture, but also his ability to kind of manipulate film in a way that's so unique to him. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, I hate to compare him to K-pop because he's Korean, okay. But they kind of, listen, hear me out. He does the same thing because it's really an interesting thing. South Korea is one of those countries that was kind of closed off to Western media for a really long time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just starting to kind of be introduced to you know, Western culture, Western fashion, all that stuff. And they've not only taken it, they've developed their own version and almost enhanced it. It's almost like they're leading, in my opinion, a lot of the trends, not only in fashion and music, but clearly in cinema. Because you didn't see songs like K-pop that they start off, you know, being pop, and then suddenly they bring on EDM, and then it turns into an R&B song, and you're like, what the hell is going on? But at the mm-hmm. same time, you yeah. love it. I feel like Bong Joon-ho is doing that with film.
Okay.
He yeah. really is, because he starts off as drama, and then he, especially Parasite, right? You start off with one vibe, following a certain set of rules, and then he just, like, he's like, you know what? I don't care. And he switches it in a matter of 10, 15 minutes. And no one else, in my opinion, has been able to do that as effectively as he has. And it's just, I think it's obviously going to be something that a lot of people are going to imitate or try to replicate.
Right. Yeah, I like, so Bong Joon-ho, he doesn't have a background in filmmaking. He didn't go to film school, you know? I think it was like psychology, sociology. That's what he studied in school.
I think like anthropology.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah, it was in film, basically. So to see someone like him, he just loved films. He just, you know, watches a lot of movies. And I remember some of his big influences are like, Hitchcock was one of his big influences.
Oh, really?
And, you know, yeah. And Martin Scorsese, another big influence of his. So, like, the way he made Now to Parasite was they helped pave the way, but like the way his filmography, like it got him to that point, you know, like Okja was kind of a funny, you know, film, but has social commentary on the bottom of it and stuff like that, you know, so you can see like the progression he had with each film he made.
Yeah.
To how it is with Parasite now. That's why it's so great. It's really cool to see directors, when you study them, how their trajectory goes and see how they become the person they are today, thanks to like the past films they created and the things that happened to them in life, you know? Because I think life is probably one of the biggest things that makes you and shape you as a filmmaker.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure, yeah. He's mentioned a lot of like little details in Parasite that, you know, he brought in from his own experience as a child. And, you know, there's like an ode to his alma mater in there.
Really?
So I definitely think, yeah, the school that they faked the certificate from, that's where he graduated from.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
So, yeah. So I think for sure, like his own experiences, his observations have definitely led him, you know, to create the powerhouse that is Parasite.
And yeah. Apart from the director, like the movie itself, it might be a weird comment, but I don't think I've ever paid attention so much to stairs in a movie in my life. Like, if you think about it, they became like almost essential. Every time there was a stair, like even,
yeah.
For example, like the Kim Woo's family, you know how they live below, kind of basement style. Like the only stair that you actually see apart from leaving the apartment is like, I think, the bathroom, you know, you have to step up to the bathroom, to the toilet.
To the toilet, yeah.
And I was like, first of all, I'd never seen that in my life. I thought it was super weird, but I don't know if that's common in South Korean homes, but it really kind of set the tone for that house, you know? Right, and then when you saw the giant staircases in the rich one, you were just like, there's clearly a discrepancy here. And then obviously with the whole ending, like going down the stairs with the long take and everything, every time you saw stairs, you know, something was going to happen. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely like a literal.
Oh, go ahead, yeah. Catherine.
Like I was saying, it's like a little metaphor to like all these classes, you know, the class society, resources, you know.
Right.
He made it, you know, it's literal steps.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I was blown away, but also sad about the house. Like, the house was so beautiful. It was so aesthetically pleasing. But they, you know, they tore it down afterwards because it was just a set.
Wait, what?
It was a real house. Yeah, it was a real house. Because if you see behind the scenes, you guys should see behind the scenes. It's crazy. Like, they use a green screen for a lot of, like, the outside stuff. Like, even, let's say when he was outside the gate, the son, I forgot his name. Like, all those houses there are not actually there
really?
In real life.
Yeah, I saw that behind the scenes, but I didn't know they tore it down. They could have made so much money. Just touring that set.
Yeah, tore it down. I know, they should. It was so beautiful.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and they use like an app. Do you guys hear about that? He used like a... So the way he made that house is like, he had like this app they use to see like the actual structure itself before they actually assemble the house. Like, it's crazy how technology is so advanced now. So he was able to like think of the different scene ideas with this, like, I think he had on his iPad or something, this idea of what the house, the layout is for it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, okay, that makes a lot of sense now, because a lot of the cinematography, and back me up on this, Kat, since you're a cinematographer too, some of it was just like unreal. The way that the camera just like, one, it was always constantly moving, and it doesn't matter where it was moving, the composition was always perfect. It was flawless. There was nothing wrong with any single take. And I was like, how do they even get the lighting and the people running? Like, for example, the one where he's talking to the mom about the self-portrait, and you see the kid running in the back. Which low-key reminded me of the window scene in Citizen Kane, by the way, Kat, which I know you love.
yeah, that's funny.
But things like that, it was just perfect, you know? I was like, how do they do that? But if he built the house, then it makes sense.
No, yeah, he was... Yeah.
No, that's how he did it.
So meticulous with everything.
No, yeah, definitely. I think you have to be, you know? Everything you do is for a reason. And if it's an accident, hopefully it's a happy accident.
Oh, no, yeah, like the car. We were talking about this, if I remember, where Kevin is, like, having that first meeting with his friend, Min.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's, like, an empty street, and it's silent, silent, silent. And then all of a sudden, this one random car rushes behind him.
Oh, the bus? Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. I saw, when we saw it in the movie, I was like, yo, they got so lucky, because it made that moment, like, so much more intense. And then it turns out that they had been timing it for 2 minutes to pass when he would say that line. And I was like, this is just, it's next level. Like, he's on another level completely.
I'm trying to figure out still, why it's such a popular film and why it's did so well in general, you know, with especially like the American population. I mean, like I said, it was probably the script. That's why like the story is just so great. But, you know, a lot of times when people watch foreign films, the whole entire barrier they have is reading the subtitles. Right. So, like, this time I'm watching so many great films because of the subtitles. But with this one, I think also because of the traction it had, like, word of mouth of saying how good the film is, people watched it. That's my theory. That's why I think it did so well.
That's, I mean, you make a really good point. I also think because the, I don't know, the underlying issue that he kind of talks about throughout the whole film is really tied to South Korean culture, but it also resonates very, very strongly throughout other cultures. Like, I can relate completely about that whole income discrepancy, like, in Mexico, too. In the U.S., you have the same thing. Like, I think it's a global concern that people can really, really relate to. And he just did it in such a smart and creative way that was also insanely entertaining that I think is, that's kind of what draws people into that as well, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I like how, a lot of these films are, like, centered really in, like, one location or, like, you know, nothing too crazy of a set, basically. These are probably some of the best films ever made. Right?
Right.
Yeah. I think about, like, In a Mood for Love or...
Right.
You know, it's these central... It's a house. It's, you know, these people living in a house.
Yeah. I guess it does come back to what Farrah was saying with relatability.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to relate to superheroes fighting a bunch of aliens in space. You know?
That's true. I mean, and at the same time, I feel like that, I don't know, he was really smart in the way that he portrayed the issue itself, right? Because he never antagonized either the rich or the poor, right? He never said the rich are to be, you know, pretentious and, like, not empathetic, because the poor in the movie are also... equally as scummy, if you will, you know, like, they lied and they cheated, and the other ones, the rich family was always judging them, and, you know, the comment about how he smelled, which, you know, later escalated into something a lot more intense, it kind of showed they're both victims of the system, sort of, which I thought was a really interesting way of portraying an issue like that, because he didn't really blame either side and didn't glorify either side. It was just how it was.
Yeah. Parasite is one of a kind. It's... I don't think anything can replicate this film.
Do you think it's worth the hype?
Yeah, it's worth the hype. It is.
Yeah. Like, comparing it to all the other films that came out that year, Joker, Hollywood, it's just so unique and different in its own way. Like, it's not faking it. It's not trying. It's very organic and it's in its storytelling.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Like, it has its own voice. It's authentic in the way that the story is told, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you make a good point. I didn't think of that, but yeah, that's true. It's part of the appeal. And I think Bong Joon-ho, just the fact that he's writer of his own movies really helps out, because the vision doesn't ever get compromised, because he's not only directing it and writing it, he's usually almost always the producer. And the DP that he worked on Parasite also worked with him, I think, in Mother and Snowpiercer, if I'm not mistaken. So it's crews that already understand him, you know? And it really shows, because the message is really clear, and you can't do that if you have, you know, confused crew.
Definitely.
If not, you have Bohemian Rhapsody in your hands, you know.
I hate that film.
But yeah, overall, I think, I mean, in terms of the progress for the film industry and everything, I think it was not only a jump for Asian cinema, it was just cinema as a whole, right?
Well, for sure, it definitely put a new standard, you know. I think what we would consider, like, higher class or non-event films, it's impossible to go back from that.
Do you think an indie film can actually get to that level?
I think so. Why not? If someone's smart enough.
I mean, if something new comes out, there's always going to be something. There will always be something that's great that comes out. You know why? Because just different storytellers telling a different story. There's different perspective on things. There'll always be.
Yeah, I think someone just needs to give, you know, that person the opportunity. You know?
Yeah.
Just like Bong Joon-ho, like you were mentioning, he doesn't have a filmmaking background, but he's like, I'm going to make films. And, you know, they gave him the opportunity to do it.
He's also kind of, like, really motivational in the sense that he didn't, you know, I mean, personally, we've been hearing from, because we went to UM, but, like, we've been hearing about LA and that, you know, you have to leave Miami in order to be able to do film. And some people are very pro that, and some people are not really, you know, advocates of that. But to me, Bong Joon-ho is the perfect proof of, like, you can do great films. no matter where you are. You know, you just have to understand the medium and be able to tell an honest and authentic story that can resonate, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, any ending comments, resounding comments? I mean, obviously, recommendations, right? Would you recommend this? We kind of do this with the film ones. Would you recommend this to everybody? Is it a niche kind of movie? What do you guys say?
I think it's one of those films that everybody can watch, regardless, you know, whether they're like a huge film buff.
I feel like if they get over the language barrier of reading the subtitles, that's really like, I know some people who are not going to watch the film because of that whole entire thing with the subtitles. So, and they're not, you know, filmmakers, quote unquote, regular people. I don't know. Even sometimes if a film's that fantastic, people are not going to watch it. It's just, you know, what they're feeling.
Right. So I feel like the verdict is like, read the subtitles. It's worth the subtitles. Literacy is good. But yeah. Anyways, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Again, I want to say thank you to Simeon for coming in again today.
Yeah. You know, I really miss you guys. You guys gotta call me more, you know? Like, what's going on with that? I haven't seen you guys in forever.
No, honestly, thank you so much for coming in. It's always a lot of fun to have you, Simeon.
No, thank you. Thank you, for sure.
Oh, last thoughts. That one water swipe was the worst. That's the one mistake in Parasite.
You won't let it go. You won't let it go.
I can't. But anyways, Tim, any plugs you want to tell us about?
All right, you guys. All right, I got my gaming channel on YouTube called Poor Man Games. No spaces at all. It's for the people, you know? All right, Poor Man Nation. Hoorah. I have Weeby People Productions. I think the website would be People. .com. If not, type in weepeopleproductions.com. You know, you'll figure it out. I believe you guys. I have my social media, my Instagram. I have SimeonToast_Crunch as my Instagram. Go follow me. I might follow back. You never know. And I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it. Oh, and my podcast. That's it. Oh, yeah, the Backyard Critic at whatever. It's on everything. All right, so Backyard Critic. You can find me on all platforms.
We'll put all the links in the description of anything if Simon went too fast.
Thank you again, Sim. See, you can find RPVP on Instagram and SoundCloud, and we hope to see you guys on the next episode.
This podcast is brought to you by no one. Are your Chipotle please sponsor us before someone else does? Voiced by your hosts, Catherine Mairena and Fernanda Lamuña. Special guest appearance by Simeon Reese P. Narcis. Original music by Alec Druth and Sadine Dasu. Graphic design by Natalie Maiden. Copyright 2020 RPVP Podcast.